This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, all eyes were on the Senate Intelligence Committee today as former FBI Director James Comey testified for over 2.5 hours. The chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, is here with the details. And in another Senate hearing that took place last night, which was overshadowed by today's hearing, there was an unbelievable, and I emphasize unbelievable, display of religious bigotry by Senator Bernie Sanders. I'm going to play that clip for you a little bit later, and I'm going to be joined by attorney Cleta Mitchell for a discussion. Also, the mayor of Neosho, Missouri, is not backing down to the anti-Christian crusaders who want the city to abandon a cross that's been in the city for nearly 90 years. Mayor Ben Baker joins me later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, if you miss anything on your way home tonight, it's all archived. In fact, past shows can be found right there at TonyPerkins.com. Also remind you, we still have room for a few folks on our Alaskan cruise coming up the end of July, 1st of August. All the information right there at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, the highly anticipated hearing with fired FBI Director James Comey took place before the Senate Intelligence Committee today. Some interesting tidbits came across through this 2.5 hour hearing. The chairman, Richard Burr, asked Comey if anyone had instructed him to drop the Russia investigation. That was one of the aspects of this hearing. Comey answered no. Well, so that was pretty straightforward. Burr asked if there was any evidence that Russia had altered the vote totals in the fall election. Again, Comey responded no. Now, he did say that there was interference by the Russians, did not provide the details on that, but there was interference by the Russians in the election. Now, what was, I think, one of the most alarming aspects of this was that James Comey revealed that after his firing, he actually tried to prompt a special investigator or counselor being appointed by giving his notes, his memos about the Trump meeting to a friend to release to the press. That sounds like he was interfering with an investigation. I don't know. That sounds pretty troubling to me. But anyway, joining us now to talk more about this, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. He represents North Carolina in the United States Congress and actually has oversight of a number of agencies within the House jurisdiction. He joins us now, Congressman Mark Meadows. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's great to be with you, Tony, and obviously, you know, an eventful day here on Capitol Hill, and so it's, you know, it's always good to be with you as the news breaks so that you can bring it to your listeners.
Well, I appreciate you joining us for that purpose. Let me just ask you anything. Well, there was plenty that was startling, but what was the most revealing aspect of that testimony today?
Well, I think there was a couple of different areas that perhaps will not get reported as accurately as it should. One you mentioned is the fact that a confidential memo that was meant to be held in private gets leaked to the press to help facilitate a special prosecutor. Well, if that's the case, there should have been a special prosecutor back when, you know, Director Comey was in power to suggest it, and I don't know why he wouldn't. So, you know, I'm troubled that you would leak something that was meant to be confidential. And the fact that this was the only time that he's ever taken notes, that to suggest that you would do that as the only time that you would ever take notes, it defies logic. I'm not sure why that would come out. The other thing that was critically important, Tony, was I think it was Senator Tom Cotton that was going back and forth with them with regards to all the phone calls and collusion and this and that that supposedly was happening. And what we found is that indeed even Director Comey said no, that those were false. What was widely reported in the New York Times was false. So the president is not under investigation. That's been verified. So all of those things were new things that we've learned in the last 24 hours, and I think it bodes well for this administration.
It does. There were several unusual aspects about this. One was that yesterday afternoon, James Comey released his opening statement to the public. Well, that's a little unusual, I think. But then he didn't read from his opening statement when he was before the committee. In fact, he went on to kind of portray himself as a victim of the president. But the president's attorney, commenting on Comey's opening statement, jumped on it right away and said, you know, this leads to the president feeling completely and totally vindicated because, as you pointed out, he repeated that on three separate occasions that the president was not under investigation. And so I think that now is completely clear.
Well, I think it is clear. It's certainly the president has been telling the American public for weeks and months that he was told that he was not under investigation. And yet we had leak after leak after leak that came out that was disparaging to this administration. But the one thing that didn't leak was the fact that he wasn't under investigation. How does that happen if it doesn't have intent? And but yet we were truly had the president vindicated, but not only vindicated, but it was really went a long ways to saying, well, why would this narrative have been out there that would support just the opposite? So I think there's more news to come out. Hopefully, those as we start to see the real truth, Washington, D.C. doesn't like it when the swamp is drained. And this president is serious about draining the swamp, and the swamp is trying to fight back, right?
Yeah, I can't, of course, I don't have too long of a frame of reference, but I've got a couple of decades where I've been very much involved in, and I've never seen such a visceral reaction to this president. I mean, he is finding opposition at every turn, and I think you're absolutely right. It's because he is not business as usual. Now, I don't agree with everything he does. All right, but what he is doing, which I think is driving people on both sides of the aisle, I'll have to say that a little crazy, is that he's doing what he said he was going to do.
Right. Right. Well, he is doing what he's serious about doing it, Tony. Having private conversations with the President of the United States, there is no one more serious about getting things done and fulfilling his campaign promises, whether it's on life issues, as you know very well, with the Mexico City policy. And I mean, he's gone further than even some of our pro-life presidents before. And as we work with that, he is intent on not only working with you and me, but working with the 318 million Americans who want to have trust in their government again. And this town is doing all it can to stop him from doing it.
Congressman Meadows, let's talk just for a moment about Russia. He was asked by actually one of your state senators, senators from your state of North Carolina, Senator Burr, whether or not the Russians manipulated the vote totals. He said no, they did not. However, he did say that he had no doubt that Russia attempted to interfere with the election and was behind the hacking and release of information from the Democratic National Committee that damaged Hillary Clinton's campaign. What do we know of Russian involvement? And there's been a lot of discussion about that. How much were they involved in the election, and how do we know what they did had an effect on the outcome?
Well, I mean, here's the interesting thing. The biggest thing that had an effect on the outcome was the fact that Hillary Clinton was more of Washington, D.C. being just what it always has been and will be, and it was her message and the candidate to suggest. Now, I have no doubt that there were Russian hackers, and I am fairly confident that the Russian government was aware of that. That being said, to suggest that it changed 100,000 votes in Pennsylvania or 300,000 votes in North Carolina, where I'm from, or anything else, I can tell you that it was a non-factor. When you spend $1.2 billion on a campaign, as Hillary Clinton did, you know, having Russian hacking going on and whether it influenced the election, I think that's a bridge way, way too far. And so as we look at that, I think it's important that we get to the bottom of it. Any Russian interference in our elections is unacceptable. And yet, let's put in the practices to make sure that hacking doesn't happen, whether it's at the DNC or the RNC or anything else. We can't elect them undermine our democracy.
But well, that's true.
But the bigger problem here is they're suggesting that there was this nefarious collusion between the president and the Russian government,
right.
And I just don't buy that. And, I mean, that's just a ridiculous hypothesis that's brought on by partisan politics.
Well, I have another suggestion. If they don't want the American public to be turned off by the things they say, then they shouldn't say them. And that, in part, is what drove the DNC.
Very valid,
That was Hillary's problem, is that they said stuff about people of faith and other groups in a very derogatory manner, which they would have preferred not had gotten out, and it got out, and it hurt them. Now, I agree. I don't think it turned the vote as much as they claim, but I think it's indicative of this attitude that they had that came across to the American voters, and I think they said enough is enough. We want somebody who's going to change things, and that's what Donald Trump has been about doing for the last 5 months. Now, let me ask you this, Mark. Where does the White House go from this? Does this help clear things up? Are they able to put this behind them? Where do they go?
Well, I think they do put it behind them. Obviously, there will be a special counsel that will continue on, and lawyers will make big money over it. But I can tell you, this administration is focused on job one. And job one to them is making sure we drain the swamp, but that we also deliver on every campaign promise. On the president's West Wing walls, just outside the Oval Office, is every single campaign promise he made in every single state that he campaigned in. And they're going down, checking off each one, said, we've done this, we did this on this date, we're going to do this here. And for them, it is serious about being about the agenda. So it's high time that members of Congress and senators get on board and put bills on the president's desk that he can sign into law, and we need to be serious about that. I know this president is, and I think he's going to move on to that after today's hearing.
Well, I hope so, because there's a lot of work to be done. Congressman Mark Meadows, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. God bless, Tony.
All right. Take care, Mark. There's a lot of resistance to draining the swamp. I think you start talking about draining the swamp to a lot of those folks that wear those alligator shoes. I don't think they like that. Big money in Washington, D.C. with the lobbyists who like status quo. And the president is changing that. All right. On Wednesday, Senator Bernie Sanders pushed the boundaries of posing a religious test during a confirmation hearing. We're going to be talking about that with Cleta Mitchell when we return. And I'm going to play you what he said. I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I'm going to let you hear for yourself what Bernie Sanders did. It's unbelievable, the religious bigotry. That's next here on Washington Watch.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going back to Israel in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love to have you come with us. You know, one of my favorite places to go in Jerusalem is Gordon's Calvary, which is the place where they make the case, a very strong case, was where Jesus was executed. Then we'll also see the Garden Tomb, which is right next door to that, where also a very strong case can be made, was the tomb where Jesus was buried and where he rose from the dead. Well, that's just two of the places we'll see on one day in Jerusalem. We'd love to have you come with us. If you want the information we have available on the tour, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. For a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going back to Israel in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love to have you come with us. You know, one of my favorite places to go in Jerusalem is Gordon's Calvary, which is the place where they make the case, a very strong case, was where Jesus was executed. Then we'll also see the Garden Tomb, which is right next door to that, where also a very strong case can be made, was the tomb where Jesus was buried and where he rose from the dead. Well, that's just two of the places we'll see on one day in Jerusalem. We'd love to have you come with us. If you want the information we have available on the tour, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. For a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. Last night, Senator Bernie Sanders, I think, really pushed the boundaries of really imposing a religious test during a confirmation hearing for Russell Vought, President Trump's nominee for Deputy Director of the Office of Management and Budget. This was unbelievable. And I'm going to play for you in just a moment. Sanders, what he was doing, he was taking issue with a piece that Vought, who was a Southern Baptist, wrote in January 2016 about a fight at the at his alma mater, Wheaton College. The Christian school had fired a political science professor for a Facebook post intended to express solidarity with Muslims. Now, Vought disagreed with Hawkins' post and defended the school in an article for the conservative website, The Resurgent. Now, this is what Sanders zeroed in on. And joining us now to talk about this is Cleta Mitchell. She is a conservative political law attorney and partner in a D.C.-based firm, the Foley help me with that, Cleta.
Foley Lardner.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
This was, it's hard to describe Bernie Sanders in the bigotry that he expressed toward Russell in this exchange.
Let me get to this issue that has bothered me and bothered many other people. And that is in the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent. You wrote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton
College. I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion. But there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world.
This sounds like a inquisition that's going on here. Cleta, I mean, have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, I've never seen it happen in this context. Curiously, I was just having a conversation yesterday with someone, with some people who were telling me that when the movie The Passion of the Christ came out, that it was condemned for being anti-Semitic because it shows the trial of Jesus and this all happening at the hands of the Jewish leaders, and that that's somehow anti-Semitic. I mean, the fact is, I am aghast when I read and I hear this statement from Bernie Sanders. I mean, I thought that Russell Vaught, who I know, who is absolutely a wonderful person, but the fact is, our faith teaches us, and if you are a practicing Christian, as I am, as you are, as many of your listeners are, if you believe in the centrality of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and that no man cometh to the Father but by him, then yes, we are all condemned. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim or whatever you are. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and accept him as your Savior, then you are not going to go to heaven. It's that simple. I think that what this basically is saying is if you believe that, according to Bernie Sanders and Senator Van Hollen from Maryland, which was, let's not forget, was established as a colony that was predominantly Catholic. But if you believe what we believe, you are not eligible to work in the federal government. That's what they're saying.
And this is, as you said, this is an orthodox view of Scripture that it's the centrality of Christianity, Jesus Christ, as you point out.
It is the very basic of Christianity. And it's right. Like Bernie Sanders has decided that, of course, you know, I'm sure he doesn't want to get into our beliefs about, you know, the Jewish people and being God's chosen people and all that kind of thing. But that's basically... The truth of the matter is, in its simplest form, Bernie Sanders is saying that because Russell Vaught is a practicing, believing Christian who has said that the people who are following Islam and who are Muslims are condemned and are not going to heaven, that's the truth as I see it. And that would be that we are not eligible to be in a position of authority to be confirmed by the United States Senate. That's what he's saying.
But Russell went on to make very clear that we still, because of our faith, we see that every human being is created in the image of God and therefore worthy of respect and dignity. And that's why our country has been so welcoming of different people of different faiths, and they have that freedom. And now the very people who gave that freedom to this country are the ones that are being targeted to have their freedoms taken away.
It's absolutely astonishing. And I think that what this demonstrates is how really we are under assault as Christians, and it has been happening bit by bit by bit, beginning with the Warren Court and the whole notion of that we can't have prayer in schools, we can't have moments of silence at high school football games or commencement, and the whole assault on believing Christians by the ACLU. I mean, this is not new.
No.
This is not new.
But it's a new level.
Now it's coming to the highest level of the country. Now it's manifesting itself in not only can you not practice, But if you are practicing your religion and you are a faithful Christian, you can't be confirmed by the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and that cannot stand. Cleta, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. As always, great to talk with you, but we're not going to let go of this one.
No.
Folks, we're going to be back on the other side of the break. This cannot stand, all right? You got to deal with this. We got to deal with it. We're coming back after the break. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Okay, so everybody's talking about oil. Oil seems to be moving in the wrong direction, at least as far as inventories go and as far as crude oil prices go. And that's what the stock market thinks anyway. And the most interesting part of all the headlines is the fact that inventories were a shock. I find it so hard to believe that inventory numbers that came out yesterday could be such an incredible shock to the oil sector. Demand for petroleum products also took a significant hit yesterday. We've got a double whammy here when we look at inventories going down dramatically, demand going down as well. But the real problem, let's just focus on the real problem, and the real problem is demand. So China exports rising for the third straight month. That's good news, up 8.7%. The Eurozone's GDP growing at the fastest rate since 2015. Look, there's a lot of good that is going on, but this can be fixed very simply by creating demand. And the only way demand is going to get created is if we get a legislative body in Washington, D.C. that understands the importance of unity to pass tax reform. They've only got about 30 days between now and September 30th to get it passed. We get tax reform and demand is going to start picking up in dramatic fashion, and these inventory numbers will be somewhat irrelevant.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, folks, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the link over. We've got a petition that you can sign that will go to do two things. One, the Bernie Sanders, calling on him to apologize to Russell Vought for the way he was treated yesterday in the confirmation hearing, the bigotry that he displayed, and also call on other senators to ensure that there's not this religious test imposed that would keep Christians from serving in public office. Again, that's at TonyPerkins.com. Follow links over. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want to go to a good news story, okay? In the city of Neosho, Missouri, a 60-foot cross, which lies on a hillside at Big Spring Park, this cross has been there in the park since 1930. But in May, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, those atheist crusaders, demanded that the cross be removed. The mayor of Neosho and the city council, standing with him, have said, no, we're not. We are not going to take the cross down. We're going to leave it. Joining me now is the mayor of Neosho, Ben Baker. Mayor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's good to be with you today.
Well, I just, when I saw this story, I said, let's see if we can't get the mayor and get him on the program here, because it's so refreshing to see a mayor and a city council standing unanimously with you to say, you know what, we're not going to be bullied by these people. That's refreshing, Mayor.
Well, thank you. I believe it is, too. And I just hope that it can be an inspiration to others to get involved. That's why I ran for city council, is I feel like that people of character need to be more involved than they are. And I think that we've missed it to some degree in America in the past years on those kind of things. And I think it's important for Christians to be involved, and it makes all the difference, I feel like.
So, and just about a month ago, the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a letter to the outgoing mayor, you're new in your spot as mayor, demanding that the cross be taken down. You, as I said, along with the city council, have said, no, we're not going to take it down. So have you communicated that back to the Freedom From Religion Foundation?
What we have done is we immediately discussed it among council and had a consensus that we were just going to really politely say no, and that we disagreed with their assessment of the law and their interpretation of the establishment clause, and we're not taking the cross down. We have a letter drafted. We have not sent that to them yet. We just initially, we kind of wanted to wait, you know, and see what would happen. We knew it was an outside organization and that it, you know, there's no formal complaint that we have received from any constituents here in the city. So then it kind of blew up on social media and all of that. And so we're taking steps, you know, to prepare for what we're going to do in the coming days. So.
Well, I think, Mayor, what you will find is that you will have a lot of Americans, not just citizens of Neosho, standing with you, but I think you'll have folks from across the country who have had enough of this bullying and making us, you know, leave behind our heritage and our freedoms and everything else. And so I think you will find a lot of support as you guys hold your ground on this, Mayor.
We really have. It's been encouraging to me, really. I've had hundreds of emails, text messages, calls from people saying thank you for standing up, thank you for you know, standing up to this group and for deciding to not back down and just do what I feel like is right. You know, there has been some hate mail from the atheists. Most of that form letters, you know, where they just add their name on it, but again, from outside our community, but the positive response has been overwhelming.
Well, and this is their MO. They look for small towns that have limited budgets, and they try to intimidate them with these legal letters. But you should know, and I'm sure you've probably already spoken to some. There are many good lawyers and public interest law firms that will be more than willing to come to your aid and stand with you as you stand on your constitutional rights as the citizens of Neosho to, you know, have this display. So,
yes,
again,
and we've had many of them reach out to us. We really have. I'm hoping that it doesn't go to a lawsuit. That would be ideal. But we just don't know at this point.
Well, we will stay in touch with you, Mayor, and you can come back on any time to give us an update when things begin to go one way or the other. But let me just again say thank you for taking a stand. I think it's an inspiration to people around this country, and hopefully it'll be an inspiration to other leaders to stand up and stand up against these bullies. So thank you, Mayor, for joining us today.
I agree. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. Mayor Baker from Neosho, Missouri. Look, folks, all we got to do is stand up. It's time we stand up. And I think this is one of the encouraging things coming out of this election, is that people realize we don't have to be silent. We don't have to let the other side take away our freedoms and our rights. And when we stand up and we stand together, we can have an impact. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there in Neosho, and I hope other jurisdictions around the country will take encouragement from that. Okay, we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. I wanted to share something with you yesterday. I've got it today. It was another hearing that took place, and, I'll let you hear it as well. So don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch after this.
Girls having privacy in school showers, locker rooms, and bathrooms is a no-brainer, right? Not everybody thinks so. Fairfax County, Virginia has become ground zero in the efforts to impose transgender ideology on American school children. The school system there is one of the largest in the United States, and its close proximity to Washington, D.C. has made it a target for the efforts to mainstream this radical ideology. Even after the Trump administration revoked Obama's directive threatening the nation's public schools, the fight continues at the state and district level. But parents and concerned citizens can fight back. In a recent panel discussion, three different perspectives from a school board member, a concerned parent, and an attorney are presented. They expose the tactics used by the transgender lobbyists and explore the strategies parents and taxpayers can use to fight back. Discover how to implement a five-point plan to educate, explain, engage, empower, and elect in order to combat the transgender ideology in public schools. Visit frc.org/events to view this vital discussion.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right. Let me encourage you to sign that petition calling on Bernie Sanders to apologize to Russell Vought for what he said yesterday in these hearings. Now, confirmation hearing. And let me I've got to commend Russell Vought for not backpedaling, not explaining away, not apologizing. Look, what he did, he wrote a Facebook post supporting Scripture and Wheaton College's statement of faith. And that is very clear. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And those outside of Christ are condemned, those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the Scripture. Jesus himself said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, if you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be a follower of him, then you have to believe what he says. And he said this. It's not something that Christians made up. It's not something that we came up with. It's something that Jesus himself said. Now, it's long been the case that Christians believe the Bible. It's only in recent years that that's become controversial. And now we see this effort to essentially create a litmus test that, well, you can have religious freedom and you can have faith, but you just can't believe it and act upon it. Now, a part of this is the biblical illiteracy that has come upon our country. And I saw this in a response to a teacher. I think we, I don't, I think we talked about this on the program a couple of weeks ago, teacher out in California that wrote a letter to the school newspaper regarding some, I think it was some policy embracing transgenderism or something. Anyway, they quoted a portion of Romans chapter 1. And, of course, at the end, verse 32 of chapter 1, it talks about, it has this whole list of sins, not just sexual immorality, but all kinds of stuff, disobedient to parents, unloving, untrustful, all these things. And it says, and such are worthy of death. Well, spiritual death. It's not talking about putting these people to death. It's talking about outside of Christ, we are all guilty and worthy of death. And that's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we might receive forgiveness of our sins, be justified from our sins, and have life. And Jesus said abundant life, not just eternal life, but even have abundant life here. So the point that those that are outside of Christ are condemned doesn't mean that we condemn them. They stand already. John chapter 3 says that. They're already condemned. We're all condemned outside of Christ. So part of this is the biblical illiteracy that has enveloped our country, but also the growing intolerance to Christianity. I mean, do you think that Bernie Sanders would have engaged in this theological debate had this individual been one of Barack Obama's Muslim appointees? I doubt it. No, I mean, I don't doubt it. I know he wouldn't have. It's only politically correct to pick on Christians. This, folks, this is serious, okay? Because this is an effort. We've seen this coming, and it's been developing, and it's been growing over the last several years under Barack Obama, where it became open season on Christians, that this idea that you either had to hide your faith, or you had to have no faith, or you had to run from your faith, but whatever, you had to check your faith at the door of public service. Look, I've had these conversations with officers in the military, commanders, base commanders who have said that, look, I cannot let anybody know that I'm an evangelical Christian now. This has to stop, okay? So I want to encourage you, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, follow the links over, sign the petition, because we're going to deliver this to Bernie Sanders' office, calling on him to apologize and sending a message to his colleagues that they should not be imposing a religious test. All right? Again, tonyperkins.com. Look, I need you to respond to this. Okay, I want to go back to something yesterday. I ran out of time yesterday, and I wanted to bring this up. This was another hearing that took place on Tuesday. Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, Democrat, had an exchange with the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, over whether she would prohibit private schools that receive federal funds from discriminating against LGBTQ students. Now, here, I have the audio of this exchange. I want you to hear it, and then we'll talk about it.
If a charter school or a private school gets a dollar of federal aid, they have to follow all of the federal laws regarding discrimination. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. But those laws are somewhat foggy in that area, so I want to be absolutely clear about what you're saying. Are you saying that if you have a private school, it's private schools that generally set their own admission policies, that they will not be allowed under your program to discriminate against LGBTQ students?
Senator, I said it before and I'll say it again, that schools that receive federal funds must follow federal law.
And I just said federal law is foggy. So in your understanding of federal law, will such discrimination be allowed?
On areas where the law is unsettled, this department is not going to be issuing decrees.
So
that
please
is a matter
just
for,
answer the question.
That is a matter for Congress and the courts.
Is discrimination going to be allowed or not allowed under your understanding?
On areas of unsettled law,
are you saying this
Congress
is such an area? So
Congress
discrimination
and the Supreme
is allowed?
Court has to decide and settle. But
you're refusing to answer the question?
I'm going back to what I said earlier.
What you said earlier didn't help us since it's an area of unsettled law, but I think you just said where it's unsettled, such discrimination will continue to be allowed under your program. If that's incorrect, please correct it for the record. How about discrimination based on religion? Will such discrimination be allowed with charter or private schools?
Again, for schools that receive federal funds, federal law must be followed.
What is that law in this case, to your understanding? Will such religious discrimination be allowed? Answer the question.
Schools that receive federal funds will follow federal law.
Okay, you're refusing to answer the question. I think that's very important for the public to know that today the Secretary of Education, before this committee, refused to affirm that she would put forward a program that would ban discrimination based on LGBTQ status of students, or ban discrimination based on religion.
Sir, that's not what I said.
Well,
that is not what I said.
I've asked you to clarify, and you've refused to do so.
Discrimination in any form is wrong. I don't support discrimination in any form.
Does your program ban such discrimination, yes or no?
What program are you talking about?
Your charter school and your private school grant program.
As I said before, and let me say it again, schools that receive federal funds need to follow federal law, period.
You know, you can explain something, but you can't make them understand it. Look, what she said repeatedly was that they were going to follow federal law. Now, I want you to follow here what's happening. Merkley said, well, that's foggy. It's unsettled. Okay, let's talk about why it's foggy. It's because, and why it's unsettled. It's because they haven't changed the law. Congress, who has the authority, he's a senator, okay? He's a senator. If he wants to change the law so that there's these special rights for people based upon their sexual perception, then why doesn't he do that? Well, the reality is he can't, because Congress is not going to go along with it. So what they do is when they had a president, Barack Obama, who was carrying the water for the LGBTQXYZ community, they imposed these policies. Remember the bathroom policy? They imposed it on the nation. They didn't have the right to do that. And so Donald Trump rescinded these letters and is abiding by what the law actually is, the law passed by Congress. And so what the Secretary of Education is saying, Senator, we're going to administer this program according to the laws that you pass. But you see, they know they can't pass these laws. Oftentimes, they don't have the courage to pass the laws. And so they want either by judicial fiat, by the courts doing it, or by administrative procedure, getting these appointees, bullying them into doing it. That's what we're talking about here. This is what's happening. And I was talking to a reporter. I was doing an interview yesterday about one of the appointees to the Department of Health and Human Services. Very solid. I mean, look, Tom Price is doing a great job in putting together a all-star team of conservatives over there. And it's driving the left crazy. Absolutely crazy. And here's why. And I was talking to this AP reporter about it. And I said, here, consider what's happening here, okay? You had Barack Obama, who, I mean, just lurched to the left, this country. And so what you have, Donald Trump, is really just kind of bringing it back to center. And I would say, arguably, like Tom Price is moving it right of center, okay? Which is reflective of where the country is, I believe. Well, that looks drastic compared to where Barack Obama had taken the country. And so the left, it's this kind of this sense of entitlement. Hey, how dare you change our bureaucracy? We work so hard to manipulate the process and change the country and get what we wanted illegitimately. And now you're taking that away from us? How dare you? That's what's happening. And so we're seeing this visceral response. I mean, literally, you know, the day after Donald Trump was sworn into office as president, they're marching on the streets. In fact, that night, burning cars and rioting. And then you had that huge march on the Sunday. And now every time he does something, there is this opposition. His nominations are being slow-walked. They're dragging their feet to try to block them so that you have all these Obama administration holdovers that are sabotaging the Trump administration. I think that's a lot what's behind a lot of these leaks. of information and these huge problems in the intel community. I mean, we talked about that yesterday with Congressman Ted Poe. I mean, I think this goes back. This is an orchestrated effort. So, folks, here's my point. We have a tremendous opportunity. In fact, it may be the last one we have to save this country from going over the edge. I'm convinced of it. I know that if Hillary Clinton would have won this election, the country as we know it would have been over, the Republic. The geographic landmass would still have been there. It would still been a called America. But the Republic as we know it would have been lost. And that's what they're fighting for. They are shocked that they didn't get their way. And so we have to follow this thing through. We cannot pull back now and say, well, we won the election, and this is just business as usual. Things are going to be worked out. And no. I mean, when you look at this type of stuff, when you see Bernie Sanders, who, this is a confirmation hearing, Russ Vought was, you know, he goes through this process, they ask him all these questions, and then there's a vote to confirm. And, I mean, as I said, I mean, they're just going after them to try to stop all of the president's nominees, as many as they can. And then you see, I mean, if you'll recall, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos was only confirmed when the vice president cast the deciding vote, which is very unusual. And now, every time she turns around, and she's a champion, I mean, she's not a really strong conservative, but she's a champion for educational choice. And so, and that's huge. I mean, look, I think that's great, giving parents the choice of where their children would get their education. And even treats, I think in her policies, and the president has said this, the first president ever, to put homeschooling up there. And that scares the left because that's the way they indoctrinate children. And that's how they keep their grip on power, is through the public education system. So we have to weigh in and help when we can to help the president and this administration. Again, I told you, I said at the beginning, I'll say it every time I talk about it, I don't agree with everything he does. But I sure agree with a lot of it. And it's sure given us an opportunity to save this country. And so, again, I want to encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, sign this petition calling on Bernie Sanders to apologize for his religious bigotry and to send a message to the other senators that you cannot impose this type of religious test against Christians in this country. It's not going to happen. We got to back this up, folks. We got to send a strong message. And every time this rears its ugly head, we've got to be there to not just say something about it, but do something about it. So please, it's on Facebook. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and share it with your friends. Do this tonight. Very important, okay? So soon as you turn off the radio and you get to the behind the computer, go to TonyPerkins.com, sign that petition, and share it with as many friends as you possibly can. We've got to let them know this will not be tolerated. All right, folks. Hope you have a great night. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you pray, and it's important we pray, get the Lord's direction, and we equip ourselves with the armor of God, and then we take our stand. But remember, look what he says. When you've taken your stand, no matter what comes, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.